Lord willing, I'm going to be speaking tonight on the topic, The World's Greatest Story. That's also the name of the song I'm going to try to sing right here. Praise God, Lord willing. The world's greatest story in the Bible is told. Oh, it's the story of Jesus, and it never grows old. He was born in a manger, gave his life on the cross, brought hope and salvation to a world that was lost. It's the world's greatest story that has ever been told. A story more precious than diamonds or gold. How this old, long Galilean saved the world from its fall. That's the world's greatest story. Greatest story of all. It's an old-fashioned story, yet it's ever so new. Though the skeptics may doubt it, I believe that it's true. From the dawn of creation, you may search, but you'll find there's no greater story. On the pages of time, it's the world's greatest story that has ever been told. A story more precious than diamonds or gold. How this long Galilean saved the world. God, hallelujah. Thank God. I'm so appreciative to Pastor for the opportunity. Praise God. I'm more appreciative than that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for having mercy on me and filling me with his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. When I was young, all the young men used to get up and say the same prayer in church. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, health and strength, and being here tonight. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verse 5 through 13. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the goal tonight. Amen. Amen. That's the goal. Let this mind be in you that was in who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I want to pay attention to that word thought. That's a word in the Greek. and it's called, if I can pronounce it right, Hagiomahe. It occurs 24 times in the New Testament from the Greek, and what it means is to command with official authority. Wow. Or also, it's a strengthened form of the word ago, which means to lead. This is the mind, this is the thought that was in Jesus Christ. God opened this scripture up to us that we can get a hold of what that mind is. It's one thing to say, let that mind be in you, but here's a description telling us how to get that mind in you, how to get the thought that was in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I would submit to you tonight that the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Wow. Yeah. When he came to this world. Yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing when he picked out those 12 men. He knew exactly what he was doing, all the miracles that he performed, right, and so on. And the fact and the thought that he was on his way to Calvary, he knew exactly what he was doing. Praise God. And, you know, Matthew, of the four Gospels, was the one who paid the most attention to prophecy, that all the things that Jesus did, it was done so that the prophecy of old could be fulfilled. He is also the one above of the four in the Gospels who the most times, in fact, 13 times in the book of Matthew, he talked about where Jesus said he was going to the cross, where Jesus said that he was going to be killed, that he was going to Jerusalem and they were going to take his life, they were going to spit on him and not everything. It was laid out ahead of time, but the Lord Jesus was not just a victim. He knew exactly what he was doing. Praise God. He had that thought in his mind. He had it straight. He had the pathway in front of him, and he knew he was going that way, and he told his disciples that I'm going that way. And he told even the ones who hated him that he was going that way, and they didn't believe it. But that's what he was intending to do, because he saw what the end result of it was. Praise God. He said, another place it said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, praise God, because he saw what was on the other side, and he made his mind up, praise God. You know, you can make your mind up that you're going to do something. Paul talked about it, that I find out to will. I've got it to will in me, but I can't find out how to do it. But God will show you how to do it, and we're going to see about that before we get through here, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what this button is up here, praise the Lord. But anyway, I had one all prepared, and this is the fourth time since I've been in North Carolina that I've been asked by a pastor to speak. And this is the fourth time I left my stopwatch at home, praise God, sitting on my desk, praise God. So I'm going to try to stay inside the time, amen. You say hallelujah, you say have mercy, praise God, amen. Translated as thought, amen, this word in Greek. But it's not the only time that it appears in the scripture. We want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 3 through 5. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the worst people that ever ran into the Christian faith. Wow. He killed people left and right. Yeah. He grabbed people, went into their houses and seized them and took them to jail, took them to prison. And when they were killed, he lifted his voice up and was a witness against them when they were killed. Wow. That's the kind of things he was doing. Wow. But God turned him around. Yeah. Amen. All right, let's read this. 2 Corinthians 9 and 3. This is Paul talking about he was sending an offering. He had already done it once when this one is written. But he was sending an offering because the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. They were really in hard times, in hard trouble. And not only was the Jews and the religious rulers and the Romans against him, but the whole world was in turmoil and in trouble and famine and problems. And And he wanted to send an offering. Maybe it was because he felt guilty for all the bad things he had done. But he wanted to send an offering. This is the second time he was sending an offering to the people, the Christians in Jerusalem. So here's what he's saying. And he had been bragging about the people in Philippi who were poor, but they were reaching way down in their pockets and giving money to help the Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul setting it up, okay, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you. He was going around boasting of people about these people in Philippi and how that they were given an offering. They were given a great offering, a large offering, really reaching down and amen. Lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. He was having people from Macedonia come in to collect the offering, and they were going to bring it to him, and he was taking it to Jerusalem to be given to those people and to the elders there to minister over it. And he had been boasting everywhere, and he didn't want the people that were coming to collect the offering to be ashamed and to be worried because they didn't have anything to give. They hadn't got it ready. Let's go on, the next verse. Lest haply they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we, and we're not trying to say you, Paul didn't want the Macedonians and him and the ones that were with him, he didn't want we to be ashamed, but he didn't want them to be ashamed either. He wanted to have it ready. When we come, have the offering ready so we can give it. Praise God. Here's the offering I got. Praise God. I ain't got much else, but hallelujah. God is great. Amen. Amen. Present your bodies a living offering.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. In the next one, verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary. Here's that same word again. The same word in the Greek. I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. He was not trying to make it look like he was coveting their money. He didn't want to make it look like the people in Jerusalem were coveting their money. He wanted it to look like it was a bounty. Here's people that got a lot, and they are giving. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he wanted, and so there's the word, thought. That's the same word. Hagiomai. God forgive my Greek. Amen. To command with official authority. Paul knew what he was doing. Here's a guy who had suffered a lot already. He'd been stoned. He goes through a whole litany of things that had happened to him while he was ministering the gospel. But he had that thing, that command. He was commanding his own mind, just like Jesus was commanding his own mind, like Jesus set the example, that I see ahead of me what God is promising for me, and I am going to get there. Praise God. I am going to make it. I've got the pathway laid out, and I'm going to go for it, and here's how it's going to happen, and there it is. I see the goal right there, and I'm going for it. Praise God. Amen. That's what he was doing. He had that thought, and he was commanding himself to accomplish it. Praise God. Amen. He had a deep inner conviction and a desire to send relief to the brethren in Judea. And again, you know, he had already, him and Barnabas had got together. And I had this one in, Lord of Mercy, it's in the book of Acts, 7 and 58, is that right? Hallelujah. Acts, let's look at Acts 19, chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. And so, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem. This is Paul talking right here. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And after I have been there, I must also see Rome. before, a long time before it ever took place, he already had it in his mind. God had showed him what he was going to do, what God was going to do with him, and he purposed in his mind, he was commanding his own mind, yes, I'm going that way. God's laid it out for me to do, and I'm going to do it. Amen. You know, God has laid out for this church. Amen. Sister Rochelle got up and talked about it, and it broke her heart to even talk about it. But God has got something for us. Praise God. He's got something laid for us, and we have got to accomplish it. Praise God. We've got to get it in our minds that, yep, that's where we're going. Amen. That's going to happen. We're believing it. Amen. Do you remember how Pastor got up and said, we're going to have a whole bunch of people getting the Holy Ghost in one service? He had it in his mind. Amen. I don't know how it happened. I'm not reading his thought train. I asked him about it one time. But, you know, he said he didn't get it as he couldn't explain, but it came to him, and he went for it. Amen. And 30 people got the Holy Ghost in one service right here. Praise God. Amen. Because he's got it in his mind, and he went for it. Praise God. A lot of people was doubting, but it happened. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, going on in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 12. And Paul, this is him, he went into the synagogue speaking boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You talk about miracles. Paul didn't even have to be there. They was bringing handkerchiefs to him, and he'd touch them, and it would drive devils out of people when they brought them to the people with the devil in them. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. I've seen some people I would like to give a handkerchief to. Let's look in verse 20 through 24. And so, oh, I already started reading this. I must see Rome, he said. And so he went in, sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And okay, I don't want to go farther in that one. Let's go to 21, verse, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass, this is Paul, on his way to Jerusalem. They're riding in the boat. After we had gotten from them and launched, we came with the straight course unto Chios, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlay her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried with them 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. All right, let's go on ahead. Chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, What? Mean you to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. You know, here's Paul. He's got the path. laid out for him. He knew ahead of time where he was going. He was going to Jerusalem to bring an offering for the destitute saints in that city. And it was going to be trouble. He knew it was going to be trouble. Do you think that this revival that we are wanting is going to come like cake on a platter? Do you think? You know, the only thing in the New Testament that came like that on a platter was the head of John the Baptist. You know, how many still want it? Amen. Do you want what God has for you? Do you want to open the door? Do you want to be like the Bible talks about in the Old Testament concerning that a whole tribe of Israel, and that said that them Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, when it came time for the battle, they wouldn't fight. They would not go. They refrained from going. And you know what happens? When you get in the book of Revelation and you see the 12 tribes of Israel being noted, Ephraim is not one of them. They got whacked out of the menu. They were gone. They were done. Why? Because they had the weapons to fight with. And the enemy was right in front of them. And they refused to fight. They refused to take up and defend the gospel. Praise God. Amen. We can't do that. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But you got to have faith. Praise God. You got to have faith no matter what kind of obstacles get in your way. And your flesh is probably going to be the first thing, as Sister was talking about, that gets in your way. Your flesh does not mind the things of God. Well, you've got to get it under control.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, we have got to open our hearts. Paul was asking them, do you mean to break my heart? Is that what you want to do? I'm ready to go. God's put it out in front of me. I'm getting ready to quit here. Amen. But somehow we need to open our hearts to the Spirit's direction so God will shine his light on our pathway. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 13. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. These guys are ahead of me, so I probably should let them put it out there. Wherefore, my beloved, since you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, the devil's not going to lay down and roll over. He might have a grave, but he's not rolling over in it yet. Amen. Both to will and to do, for it is God which worketh in you. It's God. It's the Holy Ghost that you are holding on to precious. That is what works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants us to will it, and he wants us to do it. Amen. And that's how it's going to be accomplished. Amen. If God puts his thought in your mind, you can do it. Amen. All right. I'm going to quit. I got still another page and a half of notes, but I got the notion I'm supposed to quit. So I'm going to sing a little song to you. Praise God. I think I'm going to stay in my time limit. I believe I have delivered my heart. Coming this way.
this way.
Thank the Lord for this beautiful word we have received, for this wonderful touch of His Spirit today. I love you, Lord. I think if we are mindful of some of the things that we're always thinking about. Someone said that if you can worry, you can meditate.